Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, our guests are Curtis M. Rocha. He serves as managing partner of DCA Partners and is responsible for all aspects of the organization and also functions as a general partner to the firm's affiliated private equity fund. Kurt is a seasoned chief executive with a background in leading high growth organizations from inception to exit. His son, Grant, also joins us today. He lives in Orange County. He works for an employee benefits organization, loves sports, is currently in a place where we all want to be in paradise, and joins us today from Hawaii. So, okay, the Rocha family. It's our first father-son duo, so I'm kind of excited about this. And we're going to talk a little bit today about teeing up for spondylitis. Because your family has done some really great things to raise awareness for the spondylitis community and SAA. So on behalf of SAA, thank you. But let's chat a little bit today about what why we're here. So let's start with a little bit of a story. Grant, when did you are our spondy, correct?
I am, correct. Lucky me.
All right. Hey, sometimes you never know. Some days I look back and think it was luck. When did you start experiencing symptoms?
Yeah, you know, it's I was probably about, I want to say 16 years old. I'm 32 now, so it's, you know, do the math. It's been a while. Got diagnosis at age 28, so it was a little over a decade in the making to get to that resolution. But, you know, I grew up a very active kid. I was playing every sport under the sun. You know, getting closer to high school, I kind of had to whittle it down to my two main sports were soccer and lacrosse. So I was always out playing one of those two sports, riding bikes, you name it, just, you know, being outside as much as I could and moving constantly. So it really started with a weird pain in my, you know, come to find out, I didn't know what an SI joint was. That's exactly, that's where the pain was coming from. And it was this dull ache that I just couldn't put my finger on. You know, I'd broken bones in the past. I had pulled muscles, of course. I knew it wasn't a muscle pain, but really just couldn't put my finger on what it was. Tried various things, going to doctors, trying to explain my pain. They're like, you know, without digging too much further into it, you're too young to have significant back problems. You know, maybe we can just take a look at a course of ibuprofen or a few other things. Explored the chiropractor route, which did help for a period of time, but it was, you know, a little bit more of a band-aid for a situation like this than, of course, a real fix. So that was the beginning of it. And there, it would come and go, right? Where it would show itself, flare up a little bit. Sometimes it would be worse. Sometimes it would just be kind of in the back of my mind. But it would always, soon after, you know, let's say a week or two, it would fade away. And I'd be like, oh, that was weird, but I'm just going to ignore that and keep moving on with my life. I'm an active kid. I didn't think too much of it.
So I want to ask Kurt a question, because we covered a little bit with you, Grant. What was it like as a father going through this with him?
Well, the unfortunate thing is, yeah, is, you know, I didn't really feel like, you know, for those first, yeah, Grant, what was it? I guess dozen years, you know, between the symptoms starting and actually getting a diagnosis, that, you know, we really were going through it with him and as supportive, you know, in retrospect, as supportive as, you know, a parent should be. And, you know, we, as Grant said, he was, you know, an incredibly active young man and a very fluid, you know, just a beautiful athlete. The way that he moved in any of the sports that he played, you would never believe that there was something foundationally or fundamentally wrong with his, you know, his physical being. And so I think, you know, and he's also very tall. I mean, he's tall, he's thin, he's 6'3" and just, you know, so I think a lot of times people, including, you know, myself, you know, attributed to aches and pains to, you know, normal aches and pains, growing pains, however you want to characterize it, because, you know, just looking at him going through life and his being and the way that he carried himself and the way that he moved, it was just really, really hard, like I said, to believe that there was something foundationally wrong. So, you know, I think that's, you know, one of my regrets is feeling like he had to go through it more alone than I think most of us as parents would like to think our kids have to do. I mean, it's our job to look out for them and to help them find things like that. And, so, you know, have some regrets around that. But since he's, you know, he's been diagnosed, you know, just been very, very proud of how he's just, you know, embraced is probably an odd word to choose, but he really has. He said, okay, if this is my life, then, you know, everybody has something. This is my thing. I'm going to figure it out. And he's worked hard to, you know, adapt certain things in his life that will probably actually enhance his life in many ways. Much as, you know, Jill, it sounds like perhaps it has yours in some ways. So, you know, we're still, honestly, we still feel like we're early in the journey. Yeah. With Grant, it hasn't been that long. He's still young. But we're eager. His mother and I are eager to, you know, be better partners, you know, from this point forward than we were prior to the diagnosis.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know that I've ever asked my parents that question. And I as you were answering it, I was feeling like I was putting a parent on the spot, being one myself. But it is hard, right? When you don't know what's going on. I mean, I complained for 20 some years about certain things that are spondylitis related and no one ever knew. And the doctors just kept going, well, we don't know. Or it's not that. So I can understand how you'd feel as a parent. Okay, Grant, I'm going to ask you, what is, in managing this, well, what is your approach? How do you stay like fit and healthy and on top of things and embrace the condition, if you will?
Yeah, it's a day by day thing, but it's also a, you know, as we all know, a lifelong thing. So it manifests differently for everyone. So, and it's not always the same for one individual person, right? I always describe it as kind of like nature's whack-a-mole, where it's, oh, today it's my, you know, back, yet now it's my neck. Oh, my, something else is hurting now. Oh, you know, it's just this merry-go-round of things that keep popping up. So it's staying positive definitely is the name of the game, but it's also staying consistent. So finding the things that work for you, and it's a lot of trial and error, as my dad just mentioned. I very much feel like I'm at the early stage of figuring this out. You know, it's only been 4 years now into my diagnosis. I know there's so many other people out there who are listening to this, not listening to this, who have been diagnosed for decades, 40, 50 years, who were just like, you know, oh man, young buck, I've seen it all. So, you know, that's what I've been doing. I've been soaking in everything that I can, you know, listening to your podcast, soaking in the SAA resources from elsewhere on the internet. I'm active on things like Reddit threads just for, you know, a support system. And it's super valuable. But I mean, I think to answer your main question, for me, it's diet and exercise. And I know that point gets harped on, and but it's true. That's really what's been the biggest difference maker for me. And of course, medication. You know, I am on biologics. That's the heavy lifter. I have, you know, prescription strength ibuprofen that I'll lean on when I need to, but I try to avoid it as much as I can. But it's great to have as a crutch when I have bad days, because we all have bad days. So in the beginning, I took a really hard line approach of like, you know, I was in a really bad flare. I had just gotten diagnosed, just gotten prescribed Humira for the first time. I've since jumped around with different medications, but, so it was kind of a shotgun approach of being as active as I possibly could be, eating as clean as I possibly could. And then since then, and just kind of getting to the bottom of that first flare and getting it to a manageable point, I could kind of reintroduce things. So now I'm not nearly as strict on my diet. I still try to eat as clean as I can. But for myself personally, I have found that movement has been the biggest difference maker. I do work an office job, but I'm traveling around on meetings. It's a sales role, so I'm in the car a decent amount. So finding ways to help yourself there, right? I use a standing desk every day. So I stand for days that I'm in the office, I stand, you know, for basically 8 or more hours at a time, and just try to move around as much as I can, go on walks, break it up in the middle of that. So those are all different ways that I've found to help myself.
Yeah, the movement. I just remarked to somebody this afternoon. I said, I'm really excited because I have 35 days of travel coming up between now and the end of the year. And they were like, are you nuts? I was like, it's so much better than being in the office. It's to me, the movement is so important. Okay, so have you had one single moment that was the most challenging, you think? Like when you thought you had it and then where?
That's a hard question. There's been a few. I think, honestly, my hardest moments were actually pre-diagnosis when I still had so many unanswered questions. I remember this one singular moment when I was actually on a vacation trip with my girlfriend, and we were in Hawaii, ironically, where I am right now. But it was a work trip for her, like a awards trip, and you know, it was with her company and plus ones. And here's a group of people who are, you know, significantly older than I am leading this charge to go do this. And traditionally, this would be something I'd be all over. I'd be like, yes, absolutely, I'm there. Let's go chase waterfalls. And I was just in so much pain that I just had to say no to everything. I could barely get in and out of this tall Jeep that we had rented for the week. And I just remember sitting down on a chair at one point thinking to myself, like, this is no way for a 30-year-old, or, you know, at the time, I think I was 27, for a 27-year-old person to live their life, especially someone who likes living the way that I do.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a very, very memorable point in the process of just like, I really need to dig deeper with this and get the answers that I need and deserve. Cause that's, you know, I see the stats with ankylosing spondylitis in particular. You know, what is it on average, a 7 to 10 year window of maybe symptoms to diagnosis. And that's just, you know, sad, and
it's not okay.
It's unacceptable. Yeah. So
that's what I'm doing with the second half of my career, of my third career.
Yeah. Well, and that's what you're doing right now. You know, you're bringing awareness. And Jill, I know this is the first time we've met and spoken, but, you know, I've followed Spondycast from the beginning. I remember seeing the first episode drop. I was like, this is awesome. Listening to that, and I've listened to a number of episodes since. I kind of fell behind at one point, so I might have to have a binge session here in a bit and catch up on some of the new ones. So I know you've had a lot of good people on here, and it matters. It really does matter. So I just appreciate all the work you're doing and SAA as a whole.
Yeah, thank you for that. We like to think it matters, and I reached a point where I didn't really talk about my own at work. I was out for a few years with it because I was so ill. And when I came back, I didn't really ever talk about it. And then I realized, like, a few years after that, I was like, oh, I know I'm blab, and some people are like, you know, the host talks too much, but it's really important because there's a lot of people that I think that don't. To me, it's really important. It's like the most important thing I do besides get up and come to work in the mornings, but maybe more important, but that doesn't, you know, well, I don't know. I don't think I want to balance those, but it's really like when I hear from people like, hey, this changed something for me, or I took a step forward. And yeah, so thank you for that. I don't usually get, I always get emotional, but okay, let's change the subject. So I want to talk, we brought you here today because we're going to talk about the L5 Investments Capital Cup. And Kurt, I'm going to let you talk about it a bit, and we're going to talk golf.
Talk golf. Who doesn't love to talk golf? So it's it's an event that we started about 10 years ago. This will be the 10th year this year. And the concept is it kind of was spawned off of the Ryder Cup concept, which is, you know, really it's a little bit like the team-based Olympics. You know, golf is traditionally an individual sport, but the Ryder Cup is really the only event that converts an individual sport into a team sport. And so we took that concept, and every year we bring 32 business leaders from the Sacramento region together, each of whom adopts a cause that is particularly special to them. And then they raise money for that cause throughout the course of about a 90-day period. This year, the event is occurring in mid-September. And so each of the 32 people picks a charity that they want to support. They reach out to all their friends, family, colleagues, people they've never met to solicit donations for that cause. And then we play a 3-day golf competition that's Ryder Cup style that is, you know, competing for a $100,000 prize pool. And that $100,000 prize pool gets divided up amongst the players on the winning team. And, you know, most charity golf tournaments raise roughly $35,000 or so for their individual charities. And so what we've been able to do is sort of put one event together, and each one of the golfers will raise on average more than that $35,000. So on a good year, I think this year, our goal was to raise $2 million for the 32 charities that are being supported. You know, Spondylitis Association being one, and certainly the one that's nearest and dearest to my heart and certainly Grant's as well. So that's what we've been doing, and that's what we're doing again this year. And we're excited to be supporting the Spondylitis Association.
That sounds like a blast.
It is a blast.
Yeah. I might have to move to Sacramento. And it's, so Sacramento. Okay. You're in the general neck of the woods. I have a map in my head at the moment. How many years have you been doing this for SAA? You've been doing L5 for 10, but.
Yeah. So, you know, I had originally been doing it for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And, because we had a friend who, lost his wife to leukemia, my wife lost her dad to lymphoma. And, so blood cancer has been something that, plagued the family and friends over the years. But, once Grant got diagnosed, and we sort of knew that there was something there that was real and identifiable and that could be pursued. You know, probably like every parent who has a kid dealing with anything, there's no more important cause than that. And so quickly switched the allegiance and the fundraising over to the Spondylitis Association. So I think this will be our third year supporting the Spondylitis Association.
That's amazing. Can I ask you a question as someone who, obviously, this is
not, they're not small donations. Did you guys vet us? Just out of curiosity.
As an organization? Yeah. We absolutely did. No, I have your annual report, and you know, we talked about the you know, the ratio of dollars that are used for administrative support versus, you know, actually going to help the cause. And one of the things that was great was you guys, you know, passed that diligence with flying colors. The other thing, you know, that I love about, you know, being able to support the Spondylitis Association as opposed to, you know, a massive charity like the American Heart Association, American Cancer Society, or any of those types of organizations is, I mean, I know because of that vetting, I know exactly what your annual budget is. And what you guys do for a relatively small amount of money is absolutely amazing. And I know that, you know, the dollars that we raise are going to be, in my opinion, far more impactful to an organization like yours than it would be where it, in essence, becomes a rounding error, candidly. And I mean, we're going to hopefully, if we can do what we've done the last few years, you know, we raised tens of thousands of dollars each year, which I know, you know, can make a meaningful impact to what you guys do and the services that you guys provide. So it's candidly, it's, you know, it's always been very meaningful to raise the money and to contribute, but it's far more meaningful now.
Well, I will say, right, on behalf of the board, like, we're grateful, and we do know, I know firsthand that the money is impactful, and watching, and you're right, like, we're a very just good stewards of people's dollars. And I've always been impressed as we move through every year, and the conversations are around like the stewardship. So I think it's, and it does go directly, right? There's so many things. And just like I live in startup land, so you want to scale, right? There's so many, like, I have so many things we want to do. And I think the whole board does. And it's, and we are, like, we talk all the time about, like, how do we extract pain? How do, from the conversation, how do we extract the time to diagnosis? And it's really exciting. And as I've been around for the last few years, it's just been such a pleasure. And to have, I don't know that I always even did due diligence on where I would put money, but I now do it. So I was curious. Sorry, that was.
Yeah, no, and it does matter, right?
It does.
And I have, it matters a lot, not just to, you know, people like myself or Grant who are hitting people up, you know, to contribute, but to those people as well. You know, because I actually get asked by people when they're making donations, the same question that you asked, and actually in some cases want to know what some of those ratios are and how the funds are actually going to be utilized to make the lives better for the people who are you know, dealing with the disease.
Yeah. I shouldn't say this out loud, but I'm going to propose that we start moving toward impact reporting. So I think that's really important, but that's my day job. So, okay. So Grant, what did you do last year at the tournament?
I participated as the number one caddy in the game.
The number one.
Yeah. So I was out there wearing my bib, supporting my dad. So I think that was, man, was that the year two? I think that was year two. Correct me if I'm wrong. Could have been year three, but of being out there as a caddy. One of these days I might find a way to finagle a golfer spot for myself, but I think I need to get a little better at golfing before that happens. But it's just such a fun day. Very cool experience. The third day, it's a 3-day event. And the third day is when everybody plays with caddies. And so it just becomes such a you know, a day of camaraderie, and everybody's out there for supporting their own causes. So it's competitive, but it's also just so much fun. So yeah, I mean, luckily it's Granite Bay Golf Course, which is kind of our home turf, a course that I grew up playing on occasion. And my dad has played many times. So luckily I didn't need to advise on too many shots, because he knows what he's doing out there. But it's really just fun to be out there, and you know,
that's
I'm caddy/beer boy.
Okay, but so I want to know if I can come and drive the beer cart.
You know what? The golfers would love it.
Okay, I'm in.
Come on up. We'll get you a spot and a good cart and off you go. Absolutely. Yeah,
I'll just pack it with beers and we'll raise money that way.
You will be by far the most popular person of the event.
Done. I'm in. I'm going to put it on the calendar. I would totally do it, by the way.
We have it on tape, I think. So we're,
you do. And I've got family. I've got you're family in Roseville. So, I would love to pop up there. I think I emailed one of you right when this got scheduled. Was it you, Kurt? I was driving from, I was up in Grass Valley, which is north of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a few days, there's a yoga ashram up there where I mm-hmm. go and every now and then I need a break. And I was on my way back through Sacramento and I thought, I think this is where the Rocas are from.
You drove right by. Yeah, my office is in Roseville and where we play is, you know, a suburb of Roseville, if there could be one.
Yeah, my boss used to live there. Okay. I think. Yeah. So I worked for a company in West Sac for a few years. So anyway, okay, we don't need to digress on geography, but I'm gonna book my ticket and the beer cart. So as we move through this, do you think, I think one of our things is always at SAA is like, how do we raise awareness? And I do feel like this has raised awareness, but like, how do you see that it has raised awareness in your community for spondylitis?
Yeah, maybe I'll be happy to start. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that we do is we promote this event as much as we possibly can. So, you know, I will, over the course of the next now month and a half, you know, be reaching out to kind of everybody that I know and everybody I connect with to ask for them to support the cause. And as part of that, it gives me an opportunity and in a sense, in a way, it's an excuse to tell the story, right? And that's one of the things that's beautiful is, you know, again, each one of those 32 people probably reaches out to, I'm going to make up a number, but call it 1,000 people, right? So that's 32,000 people who are getting educated on a cause that they might not otherwise, you know, be aware of. And one of the things that's, I think, really impactful to all of us as players is hearing about the other charities, candidly, that everybody else is playing for that we've never even heard of. Yeah. I mean, when Grant was diagnosed, right, probably a little bit like you, you know, you're going, God, I can't even pronounce that, you know. Yeah. You know, most people have never heard of it. And so it gives us an opportunity to help to tell the story, educate them on the existence of spondylitis. And then they get curious and they drill down. And then all of a sudden you start hearing the stories of, oh, you know, my dad has been, you know, has had that for 40 years and these people. And, you know, it's amazing once you start telling the story, you know, what is the saying, the 6 degrees of separation. It's, yep. You know, you stumble on all kinds of people who have either overlapping or at least similar stories. So just the outreach is one, the other golfers and their awareness, you know, is a second. You know, I'll put an email signature on my emails, that goes out. So literally every email that I send out for six weeks is going to, you know, create a platform for that awareness. We also get a fair amount of media coverage. And that's mostly for the event as opposed to the individual, you know, charities that are being supported. But, you know, there's a number of different kind of tentacles that are helping to get the word out.
I love it. I think we should challenge. I'll put it in our newsletter. We'll do yours at our newsletter, in our company newsletter, if you want.
No, thank you.
I'm happy to do it. I love talking about spondylitis, and I haven't figured out a way yet to bring it into the organization as we build. So we'll do it for sure. And then if I get to drive the beer cart, I want a logo on it.
We'll take a photo.
Okay, so what else do we have to cover? This has been so fun. So advice, I guess I'm going to ask both of you what advice you would give to someone, because Grant, I want to hear from you, but certainly I want to hear from Dad too.
Yeah, so I mean, that's like we were saying before, obviously I'm still relatively early in the journey, but I'd say, you know, I guess I'll give a two-part answer to those who are experiencing symptoms, but haven't necessarily received any kind of a diagnosis and are just trying to get to the bottom of things. Really important to just be your own advocate. And if you feel like something is wrong, keep pushing to get answers, because I feel like that's something I didn't do a great job of in the beginning. I just assumed that, you know, this, it would kind of resolve itself. Maybe it was growing pains. Maybe it was this or that. Oh, I, you know, old existing sports injury that's flaring up. But the you know, once it got really, really bad and I just had no other choice to really, you know, really start pushing hard with doctors and get referred to rheumatology. And that's when things started getting better for me. So getting to that point, you know, I just don't want people to do what I did and get to the point of, you know, kind of a breaking point before they get those answers. In an ideal world, we got to get education out there so that they can get those answers a lot sooner. And then on the flip side, after diagnosis, you know, it's just say stay positive and stay consistent. That's what I try to do. It's every day is different. You know, sometimes you'd be feeling great on Monday, wake up on Tuesday feeling funky in one way or another or multiple ways. And, you know, just figuring out what works, and just do the trial and error. That's really it. Like we were saying before, it manifests differently for everyone. So try something. If that doesn't work or help, drop it, try something else, and lean on the resources of SAA and beyond. There's a lot of people out there who are going through something that's similar to you. You just got to find them, because it can be lonely if you don't have anyone like that or an organization that you know is supporting that. So I'd say that's my biggest advice to anyone. And, you know, now that I'm out there on the SpondyCast thing, if anybody wants to reach out to me directly, you know, I'm open to that kind of stuff too. And I know you've had so many other good people on this platform. People are doing amazing things, you know, running marathons and running triathlons, and the doctors who are doing amazing work and research to further the awareness, but also, you know, the treatments and cures for this kind of stuff. So there's just, that's all I can say is generally if you reach out to someone for help, they're happy to help you, and it can give you a sense of community, whether that's the point or not. But that's what, yeah, I would say.
We're stronger together, not to go back a few years, but I mean, when we start to connect, like, we become this more powerful machine. I are you one of those people like I am? I don't know if I've ever admitted this out loud, but I'll hear people like in the locker room at the gym, and they'll be like, you know, I've been having this lower back pain, and they're talking, and I'm like, let me give you a number for a rheumatologist. Are you one of those?
Yeah, people? I try not to frighten people too much, but I know. It is funny though. Once you start talking, I mean, I've had that situation come up. And it's really, you know, when it generally tends to come up when I'm talking about my story, and they're like either themselves or someone that they know, or their son or their daughter or cousin, who's like, you know what, they've been having this thing and they've gone to a couple doctors, haven't been able to figure it out. You know what, this, you know, let's explore this, and it could be worth checking out a rheumatologist and going down that path. You know, generally don't tend to just give that advice willy-nilly to someone who's saying like, oh, I yanked my back muscle. But
six strangers who've been diagnosed because of
really
that. Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe I should start doing that more in that case.
And my rheumatologist probably owes me a check, but I'll let her off the hook because she's a wonderful human.
Your next appointment's free.
But yeah, I've done it, and I'm always like, but you have to let me know once you go. couple weren't strangers. They were people I knew a little bit, but okay. But yeah, I don't discourage it. And I don't like to give advice, but I always am like, when I hear someone suffering, especially when I hear women talking about some of their issues, I'm just like, and it's scary, right? Like, I know people who've had symptoms for years and they've not been directed toward that rheumatology. And when they find out, it's like devastating, because you're like, what was I waiting for? But it's also scary to go to the diagnosis, right? It's scary to like pick up the phone and go to the doctor. So, okay, Kurt, what is your advice?
Yeah, you know, the unfortunate thing is, I think, as I thought about the question, you know, most of the people who I would have potential advice for are probably never going to be listening to this podcast, because they don't, you know, the unfortunate thing is they don't know to do so.
Yeah.
But in the off chance that one of them stumbles their way here, you know, it's don't make them, you know, the same mistakes that I feel like, you know, we did, in terms of, you know, don't just assume that everything's going to, you know, be the optimist, things are going to get better. And, you know, drill down, you know, the thing that's hard is, none of us, you know, we only have one body and we only go through life one time. And so whatever we're experiencing in our own body, we don't know how much of that's normal and how much of that's not normal, especially as a kid. Right. And so, you know, they're going through it and not knowing, okay, is this normal? Is this not normal? Well, you know, if Grant's mom and I had it to do over again, there's no question. We would have said, well, don't know if it's normal or if it's not normal, but rather than assuming that it's normal and that time will heal it, which, as we all know, it often does, instead of taking that approach, I think, you know, we would turn that on its head and say, well, we're going to run this thing to ground until we rule out all the things that it could possibly be. And if none of those check out, then we'll assume that it's normal. And so I guess that would be the somewhat backhanded advice would be to, if someone is experiencing symptoms that are consistent with spondylitis, you know, drill down. And you know, it's go through the protocol to determine whether or not it's a likely candidate, and then continue to track it over time. Even when the doctor tells you, nope, it's not that, or you don't have the marker, or whatever the case may be, you know, if the symptoms persist, continue to keep it on the radar and don't just write it off because someone at some stage through the diagnostic process tells you he or she doesn't think that what you're experiencing is related to spondylitis.
Yeah.
So,
and you'd be surprised the number of people who listen that are not diagnosed. I've heard from quite a few are like, I'm going through it and I stumbled on this. So what would you say to a parent whose child has just been diagnosed?
Boy, that's a great question. you know, support them, be there for them. I mean, every kid is different and every kid's needs are going to be different. Grant, as you can tell, is exceptionally capable. And, you know, I think some people may probably need more help to actually implement and execute the changes that are going to help make their life better. As you heard, Grant owned it right from the start. I think at some point he was so relieved to actually have something that he could focus on and tackle, that it was like, ah, finally, I have a plan, right? I have a plan. If I execute the plan, then maybe this will be better. Obviously, it's not a diagnosis that anybody longs for or aspires to. And so there's no question, it's a mixed blessing, right? For people like Grant, who are, you know, just going through life just in pain and having to say no to things that they're dying to do. And, you know, to some degree feel bad about letting people down who want them to go do those things with them. And, you know, there's all kinds of emotions that go along with that. And so, you know, it's a real mixed bag, obviously, of having that uncertainty go away, but not have the certain path be one that is more easily dealt with, right? And more short-term oriented.
Yeah, more and more, I think those of us with spondylitis, we don't like the normal path anyway.
So but I think, you know, love them, support them, and listen to them. Listen to what they need and what they want to support their journey. And be there for them.
Yeah.
In whatever, you know, in whatever way they need.
I love that. Okay, so last question before I send you back off into the world. I'm going to start with you, Grant. What do you hope for the future for people with spondylitis?
I hope for hope, just to put it simply, you know, and it's that might sound cliche, but, you know, I feel like I did have hope very early on. Like we were just talking about, it was a bittersweet feeling getting to that diagnosis and being like, oh, well, on one hand, this is a lifelong deal. That's unfortunate. You know, nobody really hopes for that. But on the flip side, now I know what, you know, how to start dealing with this and take steps to get to a point where it's manageable. It could even be in remission. You know, we're not having flare-ups from time to time. Life is good. And then you ride that wave as long as you can, you know, and then something else comes up down the road. You never know what life's going to throw at you. But I just hope for an increased awareness as well, because as we were just talking about with just the length that sometimes it takes to diagnosis, and from a family and friends and loved ones standpoint of supporting someone who may be having symptoms but hasn't made it to that diagnosis, that can be kind of a long road. So raising the awareness so that people are more aware of that, hey, this is a potential thing that you could have if you've been experiencing X, Y, and Z, to ultimately get to that diagnosis sooner. And then through the help of organizations like SAA and research and new medications and new treatments, just on, you know, on the backside, once that diagnosis happens, yeah, it's not as big of a deal. So that's really my hope, is getting to a point where, okay, you know, this is what life is, but it's fine. It's going to be fine. And that's the main thing that I try to, most days I try to feel that way myself. And most days I think I do feel that way, truly. But, you know, not every day is perfect. So I just hope that that's a point that we can get to.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I think about hope a lot. So I understand where you're coming from. And I think about, during COVID, I took a class called The Science of Well-Being. And we had to do this like little, it was like your strengths finder. And mine came up as hope was my signature strength. And people would say, well, hope is not a strategy. And I was like, no, but I have finally figured out it may not be a strategy, but it can be an objective in a strategy. And it does things for us. And I think you're right on. I mean, I fully understand where you're coming from. And it doesn't, I think some people think hope sounds hokey. I think hope creates like these beautiful futures. So I'm with you. You can join my hope bank.
which is right next to the beer cart.
It's right next to the beer cart.
Hope bank is right next to the beer cart.
Oh, that's what we're going to do. We're going to get a giant, like, 5-gallon bucket, and we're going to make it the hope bank. Kurt, what do you hope for the future?
I know, one of the things that's amazed me is how many people suffer with spondyloarthritis, you know, spondylitis particularly, and how little awareness there is for how prevalent it is, and how little funding gets applied toward trying to solve this puzzle. So, you know, my hope is that, you know, through our effort and the efforts of others, that awareness continues to grow, that it attracts more dollars to figure out the disease, both in terms of the, you know, the fundamental causation of it, and then ultimately, you know, some form of a cure, right? And I know that's out there right now. Everybody's focused on treatment and pain prevention and trying to deal with the symptoms, and accepting it is an inevitable lifelong condition. But my hope is that, you know, we can raise enough money and get enough smart people focused on this problem to make it something. I mean, shoot, you look back and there have been a whole lot of diseases that people have considered in the past to be lifelong conditions, life-threatening, all kinds of things. And with a lot of money and a lot of smart people trying to figure it out, they've changed that. And there's no reason that spondylitis can't be added to that list.
No, I wholeheartedly agree on that. It is, and the awareness piece and growing how people understand this disease is huge, right? I think about that a lot, and I do think we have a shot at the cure or making it something that isn't such a big deal, right? That is a lot easier to live with. And people know where to go and they know how to deal with it until the cure gets here. So that was amazing. Okay. So anything I missed? And let me ask you this. So where can people, if they want to donate to the L5, how do they get in touch? Or can we put a link to the fundraising when we put this on social media?
I think actually the Spondylitis Association has a fundraising page set up. So I think just going to your website, the other option is people can go to the L5 Capital Cup. That's capital with an A, Capital Cup, and just Google that and it should take you to our webpage and they can donate to me, Kurt Rocco, or the Spondylitis Association. All the dollars that we raise. That's one of the other things that we're proud of on the event. Not to digress too much there, but you asked about, you know, auditing of the Spondylitis Association and how much of the money actually goes to the cause itself. One of the things that we're proud of for this event is every one of the golfers pays $2,500 just for the opportunity to participate in the event. And so that covers all the expenses of the event, plus a portion of that goes, plus sponsorships, creates that $100,000 prize pool that I was talking about. So this is one of those odd events where over 100% of the money that we raise actually passes directly through to the charity. So there are no expenses. The donation dollars don't go to cover us playing golf or our beers from the beer cart lady or any of those kinds of tips for the
tips for the beer lady. This is a dream trip come true. I've always wanted to be a beer cart girl. That's amazing that you guys are able to do that. I mean, so I did find it, and I should know better than to ask the question before I know the answer when it's on the website.
No, but that's wonderful. I appreciate the question, and we would love if people would do it. Like I said, all the money, all the money goes straight to the Spondylitis Association. And so it's a wonderful and easy way to contribute and support the cause. Then, the more money, the way that the money gets divvied up, that $100,000 prize pool gets divvied up amongst the winning team based on how much money each one of us raises. So the more money that I raise, for example, the higher the percentage of that $100,000 that I would be entitled to receive should our team win. And there's only two teams, right? So at least I have a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, right. So so you all raise independently and some of that money goes directly to the organizations. And then there's another $100,000 on top that.
That's right. So I'm raising money for spondylitis. So every dollar I raise goes straight to the Spondylitis Association, whether my team wins or loses. But if we win, in addition to that money, we get a share of the $100,000 as well.
That's incredible.
We plan to win. So, having people donate will help because there's, in essence, it's a form of matching funds.
Right.
That will help make the dollars go further.
All right. So we are going to see everyone listening to
Mr. Caddy over here. Sorry to interrupt, but if Mr. Caddy over here has anything to do about it, we're going to win.
We're going to win.
All right. Well, I will stop selling you beers at 2.
I do have a pretty good track record with the current caddy. So we're feeling good.
All right. Amazing. And it's spondylitis.org/tournament for anyone who wants to make a contribution. I did find it. On that note, I think we're at a wrap, and maybe we can do this again sometime after you guys win and we'll go play by play. But again, thank you for all of the hard work. And I know that it's always hard work fundraising. So thank you for that and the commitment to like helping us get to the cure.
It's the least we can do. Thank you for all that you're doing to expand the awareness and help advance both mine and Grant's hopes.
Jill, likewise, the feeling is very much mutual. Thanks for everything that you do. And it's just like, you know, it's so valuable. And I know a lot of people can see, get a lot of value out of this podcast. So keep doing it. And we'll see you on the other side after we go win the tournament.
Awesome. Cheers.
SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie.
Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit, educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.